Sweet Down Potlatch, the Minto Singers, and Esther Combs of the Cook Inlet Native Association. Song of the Minto Dancers. We'll hear more of their music a little later. Until then, down to Anchorage for an interview recorded in the offices of the Cook Inlet Native Association. Esther Combs tells us about herself and her job.
I was born in Mountain Village. It's up around the Kuskokwim River. And my family moved to Flat, Alaska, that's in interior Alaska, about the middle. And my dad worked for a mining company. And he worked there for several years, and then the mining company just went out of business. So we came to Anchorage so my dad could find another job. I guess it's kind of similar to what natives are going through now. I was about 6 years old then, and I went to school here, graduated from high school, and went to college here, met my husband, and sort of spent my whole life here, although I've been out in the States a number of times, and I don't consider that a bad experience because being outside by myself, I can appreciate how natives must feel coming into Anchorage from the village. Sometimes it's a pretty terrifying experience being in the city alone without having a place to turn to. People in the city don't seem to have much time. I guess they're, you know, either coming or going from one place to another. And I think this feeling that I noticed Native people have expressed when they come in from the villages here, that it's kind of a cold, alien feeling. And a lot of the people working for Cook Inlet have come in from villages, and they know that feeling. And I think this is why we want to be here, and why we are trying to get the Native people to come to Anchorage.
Esther Combs, working with the Cook Inlet Native Association. Now another selection from the Minto people. This one is entitled the Good Luck Song. That was the Good Luck Song from the Minto Dancers. Now Esther Combs comments on the advantages and disadvantages Native people have when they move from a village to a large city like Anchorage.
I would say coming from a village, it's probably more of a disadvantage because living in this type of setting that people are used to in a village life, a closeness. They have a family and friends and everything. But in the city, it's friends are just really hard to stay in contact with. I think a lot of people miss this. And I notice at our potlatches that people are glad just to be together. And I notice this in our sewing group, that our sewing group starts, it's every Wednesday, and it starts about noon, and it's a sack lunch type affair. And the ladies come, and some work and some don't. But they stay until 3 or 3:30, and that's fine. But they just love to get together. And it's a good feeling when you walk into the room, you can feel that. It's a, you know, friendly get-together. And I think this is one of the biggest things they probably miss. I guess the advantages of living in a city is that if you have a goal to attain something, like it's more education or maybe training or a better job, you do have an opportunity to get those things if you have the help to know which way to get started, what direction to go in. And I guess that's part of the reason why we're here. We want to point the right direction.
Esther tells us how well village people adjust to city life.
I would say right off from the start, they don't adjust very well. And I don't think it's just Native people. I think it's anyone moving from one place to another. But a lot of the times when people come in here right from the villages, they're very, well, very nervous, and they have a lot of anxiety. And I think this is natural. As long as they are getting some assistance in getting their essentials met, I think this anxiety will subside, and it has. But right away, they need a lot of assistance. I would like to bring up one point here that's very interesting. I learned about 2 weeks ago. I had a meeting with the district representative of the state welfare office here. And she said that her caseload is so high that there's about, each caseworker, and she only has like 17 in this one particular location here in Anchorage, that they have about 100 cases each. And this is their regular cases, not counting the new ones or any other ones. But she said it's so high that she has instructed her caseworkers to, right away when they see a person coming in from a village or a rural area, that to be really rather strict with them in teaching them the city life. For instance, if they don't know how to use a telephone, a caseworker will say, okay, what you need to do is to call about anything, transportation. They don't know how to use the telephone, so they show them once how to use it. And this sounds very small, but it can be a very, you know, quite an experience. So anyway, she teaches them that, and then also she'll teach them to go out into the city and try to do for themselves. Well, her point is that the caseworker will probably only see that person once, unless that person has a lot of severe problems. But she instructs them to go for the jugular vein. Well, I can see her point because she does have a large caseload. But I would hate to be one of those clients. And we don't treat people that way here. In fact, we try to be friendly and open to them because we try to, I think, do away with some of the fears they have in coming to a new place. And I think, you know, the state does have a caseload and a big turnover, but I think there's a lot more to people business and, you know, handling that way.
Can the people who adjust to large cities then come back to living in the villages again?
I would think it would be difficult. I call myself a city person, and when I go to a rural area, a village or some small place, I find that I have to stop and watch what I'm saying and how I'm saying it, because sometimes my way of thinking is entirely different. Survival in a city versus the bush are probably two very distinct things. Survival in an area like this, I think, has to do a lot with mental and emotional, and sometimes it's a battle of wits. But I find when I go to a village or a rural area, I have to learn how to relax and slow down and to look at the better things in life, you know, the more enjoyable things. So I would say a person living here might have a difficult time.
Do you know people who can live comfortably both in a village and in a large city like Anchorage?
I can't say I really do. I'm thinking of the people I know and work with here who are almost all natives, and I can't think of one. There are people that would adjust faster from one pace to another, but I still think there's always that adjustment, you know. I don't want to get off the subject, but I immediately think of the boarding home situation and what students must go through there when they leave the village, come to a city and go to school, and then try to fit back into their home life. And I've heard a lot of comments on that, and they haven't been very, very good.
Esther Combs will tell us what the Cook Inlet Native Association is and what it does after we hear from the Minto singers. That was the beautiful creation song from the Minto Dancers. We asked Esther Combs, what is the Cook Inlet Native Association?
It's a non-profit arm of the Cook Inlet region. We serve all Alaskan natives. It's been a common misconception that we serve only Cook Inlet region natives, shareholders, but it's all natives. I would like to make sure everyone knows that. We have the Native Assistance Center, and that's the program that I operated. It's funded by the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare. And the services under that program are social services, help people find housing or any other needs they might have when they come to Anchorage. Also, we have community outreach workers. There are two of them in the program. And their primary job is to set up activities for and with natives here, like potlatches or sewing classes and that type. And other programs operated here are manpower services. We have about 7 manpower specialists whose sole job is to help all natives to seek employment or to get on to training programs in the Anchorage area. The biggest problem right now is people coming to Anchorage, not only natives but other people from the states, and I guess I could say housing is our biggest problem. And we did set up a housing information and referral office here about 2 months ago, and we had to completely do away with the referral part because there weren't any vacancies to refer the people that we were getting. We do have the information service part still in existence, where we help people to locate places where they might try to call for housing. But that has been the biggest problem. The second one is jobs. A lot of natives come to Anchorage hoping to get on the pipeline. It's a real problem because a lot of the natives need to have more skills, and we get them into training programs, like we had a driller's training program going, and we have a clerical program going out at the community college here for the Native women. And I would say those are the two biggest problems. The third one is probably getting used to the pace of everything here in Anchorage, the pace of living. It's pretty fast, and people always seem to be in a hurry. And what we're trying to do here in my program is to have a place. We have a recreational center where we want people to know that they can come here and during the daytime and relax, watch TV, or if they're seeking a job, they can come here and just kind of identify this as a home away from home. In the evenings, we have the center is open in the youth center portion where there are games and activities going on. I would say those are probably the three biggest problems I can think of.
Esther tells us what the purposes of the Cook Inlet Native Association are.
It was created about 10 years ago to, there's about three goals and purposes, but it was mainly to try to get Native people together, to help them see that they have a heritage and a lot to be proud of, to be Natives. One of the goals was to have a place here that Natives could come to, and they would have a place to socialize, to meet their friends, and to set up activities that they want to, like well, first thing that comes to mind is pop matches. This is what we mainly want to do. We want to help natives, to help them overcome some of their problems, like in seeking jobs or setting up another home away from their village. And I would say this is what we're trying to do. I have 7 people working in my program, and my job is to carry out the social services and the recreational activities that the Cook Inlet Native Association wants to get out to the Native people. Not only our primary purpose is to create a place where Native people will come to.
Unlike other agencies, this Anchorage-based Native Association doesn't always wait for you to come to them.
We have a Native Assistance Center. We have a woman, an Eskimo woman, her name is Bertha Peavy, and she operates an office out at the Anchorage International Airport, the Native Assistance Center. She's been out there for a number of years, but she's an Eskimo person, and she meets the flights coming in from the bush, and those flights are primarily on, I think, Wayne Consolidated. But anyway, she knows all the flights. And she meets these people. Also, she gets calls from, like, the Native Service Hospital here or any other agency that expects any clients in or any groups of Native people. And she has a real good system set up right now, where she gets these calls and she meets these people, and I often wondered how she does this as one person. But she told me one day, and I watched her, and it really works. She manages to handle, you know, about 25 to 30 people a day. She has an office, and it's located at the north end of the terminal, mostly where the bush flights come in off of Wayne. And there's a big sign there in Yupik in English. It's open from 8 until 5, and then after 5, she leaves word with the Wayne dispatcher, the Wayne people. She has a real good rapport set up with them. And if there are any particular problems, she'll let them know, like if someone is coming in who's ambulatory, she'll instruct them on who that person is supposed to meet. And well, she'll set it up ahead of time, like transportation for that person. Mm-hmm. I had a blind lady go back to the village last week, and she was leaving about 6:30, and I asked that an escort be set up for her. And Bertha went ahead and set this all up so that by the time I took the lady out to the airport, there was someone. Wayne had expected this person. They had an escort picked out, and everything just flowed smoothly. And I think it's a very essential office out there. About a month ago, we had the Native Youth Olympics here in Anchorage, and there were Native students coming in from all over Alaska, and we helped Bertha, some of the staff here. We took turns manning different shifts, but just that little bit, that first contact when someone comes into town, I think makes all the difference in the world. And she's a bilingual person, and she helps about 300 Natives a month coming into Anchorage or going out of. And this, we feel, is a real source point, because a lot of the times she'll direct people to here. I've had so many people, I guess right at the very beginning I mentioned about how natives think, oh, well, you're Cook Inlet region, you know, and gee, we can't help them. And I'd say, no, that's not true at all. And sometimes I want to get a big banner and an airplane and fly, you know, we serve all natives. Because I know part of the solution is to get information out to people, such as this medium. And we do anticipate having multilingual advertisements. And this is, you know, most important in helping people.
We'll hear more from Esther Combs after we hear a selection from the Minto Singers.
Some of the services we have here that I'd like to mention, one of them in my program is transportation for adults. Like if an adult has medical appointments or has job interviews to go out on or any other place that he needs to go to other than shopping or this sort of thing, all they need to do is call in to the center here, and we can set them up to go to these places. Also, we have an adult driver education program, and we have an instructor here who teaches 20 hours of classroom training and about 20 to 30 hours in-car training. And this is because a lot of Native adults haven't had the opportunity to learn how to drive, particularly if they're coming from a bush area. And this is really essential in Anchorage, is learning how to drive or knowing how to drive. And we have the same program for students too. I don't know if I mentioned we have a recreational center here for Native youth. The center has various pool tables, ping pong tables, jukebox, and couches and TV, place where kids can come and relax and meet their friends. We have also put in for a couple other programs. One of the most important, we have a proposal in right now to develop an alcoholism recreational and counseling program. And we've been waiting quite some time to get this program going. We haven't received a grant yet, but we feel this would really hit a lot of the problems that are being encountered right now by Natives here in Anchorage.
That was Esther Combs from Mountain Village, who's working with the Cook Inlet Native Association. I'm Mo Osley, and I'll see you next week.
Potlatch is produced in the studio of KUAC in College under Title I of the Higher Education Act.